We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, I am so thankful for this portion of our text. I'm so thankful that you've called us to this place, that you are faithful. Lord, that there is nothing that gets past you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just clear my mind, help me to shift gears. Help me, Lord, to just center in on what you have to say. And Father, no matter what I say, I pray that the ladies would hear what you are saying, Lord, that we would listen for your voice, because every time we listen for what you have to say to us, we always hear it. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are here with us. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing on each one of us, Lord, that we would hear from you, that we would be drawn close to you, and God, at the end of the day, that we would give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are in chapter 12 of the book of 1 Samuel, and we are at the coronation, actually, of Saul to be king. They are in Gilgal. What do you remember about Gilgal? What happened in Gilgal before? This was the place of the first covenant when Joshua came in, and they came across the river, and immediately God told them that they were to circumcise, that all of the men were to be circumcised. So they made their first covenant as they entered into the promised land. So it makes sense that here is the place that's going to be the place where the king is going to rule from. And so a new power had been introduced, and you remember that Samuel's sons were excluded from that, what Samuel had done. It was going to be a gradual change, it wouldn't just be all turned over. I'll just do whatever the Lord tells me to do right now. So now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you." Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old." Oh, man. Here we go. Saul's probably a much younger man that he's been picked here. And here Samuel stands, and he said, "I've given you a king to be over you." He's talking about he's giving them a king that's going to go before them like a shepherd. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? He didn't continue that way. He started out humbly, but he didn't continue that way. Samuel tells us, "I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you, even though you don't want to accept them, because they are not living the way that they were taught." And it's an important thing that we need to realize, that people are watching us all the time, all the time. Even when we think, "Well, I'm just in the grocery store. Oh, I'm just pumping gas. I'm just whatever. I'm just here by myself." People notice. People notice how we conduct ourselves, how we respond. You've been on the road, and you've had somebody cut in front of you, or maybe you cut in front of somebody else. And then all of a sudden you realize, "Oh, I know them from church." And your response at first had been, "Oh," and then, they're from church. Oh, merge, come on in, go in front of me, yes. This portion of our text is talking about Samuel being who he says he was. There was no phoniness in Samuel. There was no hypocrisy in Samuel. He is exactly who he says he was. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. You know who I am. You know what I have done here amongst you. Here I am, witness against me, or it says answer against me before the Lord and before his anointed. He goes into all of the things. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I cheated, whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. If I have done anything, knowing in his mind, I have not done anything, but if you think I've done something, I'm going to restore it to you. Just if you think that I did something wrong, I'll take care of it. I will take care of all of it. And they said, you have not cheated us, you've not oppressed us, and you haven't taken anything from any man's hand. And so then he says to them in verse 5, the Lord is witness against you. The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Yes, that's right. We are saying that the Lord says that as well. And then Samuel said to the people, it's the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now Samuel is going to go into, this is what God has done for you. We need to rehearse what God's done for us. We need to be reminded of what God's done for us. God has done great things for us. He's done great things in us and through us. And we need to remember. Just like David said, I will remember, I will remember, I will remember. We have to remind ourselves that God is God. God is who he says he is, just like Samuel is who he says he is here. God is who he says he is, and he says that he will deliver us. He says that he will walk with us if we will walk with him. And so he moves on, and he says, the father Moses and Aaron who brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and your fathers. And then he goes on to say, when in verse 8, when Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, when your fathers cried out to the Lord, when you cried out to the Lord, when your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place here in Gilgal. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he brought you into the promised land. God did everything he said he was going to do. He brought you into the land, and you were excited that he brought you into the land. Maybe not excited that he wanted you to be circumcised as soon as you got here, but they were, that was funny. I thought that was funny. Yeah. So, you're paying such close attention. I just know him. So when they got there, they're all excited that God's done what he's going to do, what he said he would do. And how long did it take before they took their eyes off the Lord? How long does it take us when the Lord has blessed us, when the Lord has done great things in our lives, how long does it take us before we're looking for something else? Not long. We're so human. We have to be reminded of what God's done. So what did he do? When they forgot the Lord their God, and that is that they worshiped other gods, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And then they did what? Then they cried out. Here we are still in the book of Judges, actually. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. They were brought into captivity. They cried out to the Lord. The Lord delivered them. And on it goes throughout all eternity. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. Why? How have we sinned? What is the sin? Because we have forsaken the Lord and we have served the other gods, Baals and Ashereth. But now deliver us. Did you notice they said, we have sinned. We have sinned. We didn't just make a mistake. We didn't just, God has never, Jesus Christ did not die for our excuses of why we did things. We will never be forgiven for our excuses. We can't get deliverance from our excuses. We must look at what it is, tell the Lord what it is, what is that sin in my life, and then we need to repent of it. If we don't repent of it, if we don't make any attempt to repent of it, how can he forgive us? We just continue to do the same thing. I was listening to somebody recently. They were talking about the whole deal of when people are remorseful. They get caught at something, and they're really remorseful, and there are a lot of tears that go on, and a lot of crying, and a lot of sadness. But before you know it, they're right back to doing exactly the same thing again. Why? Because they did not repent. They were remorseful. They were sorry that they were caught. They weren't sorry that that they had done things against the Lord. And so here we are. They said what their sin was, in that they were serving other gods. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, which you read different translations. You found out Jerubbaal was Gideon, Beden, Jephthah, and Samuel, who in other translations is Samson. But we're all okay with that, right? Okay? Because that's the way that it's printed. And deliver you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. God delivered you, and you dwelt in safety. And when you were dwelling in safety, you have seen the deliverance of the Lord, and then along comes Nahash, and you think that you need a king to deliver you. You think you need a person that can deliver you as a king. I carried you through all of this, God says. I took you through all of this. I brought these people in to fight for you. I was the one who caused you to have victory. But now you see the threat of Nahash, and we know how Nahash was. We've already talked about how really, really brutal he was. But they see what he had done, and they said to him, "No, a king shall reign over us. A king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king." When the Lord our God is our king, and we reach out for something else. Never mind, God. Oh, we would never consciously say that. Never mind, God. Somebody else is going to take care of this for me. Never mind. We would never, ever consciously say that. And yet, every time we put our trust in something besides the Lord, that's exactly what we're saying. Never mind. I've got this. The one who died on the cross for us, we're telling him, never mind. Just let me walk my way. I've got this. I can trust this person to get me through. They look like a king. Verse 13. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. Take note that the Lord set this king over you. Those who are in charge of our country, the Lord has set in place. Complain if you want to. Cry if you want to, but please pray. Because we're told to pray for the leadership, but we need to know they are there because God placed them there. Well, but they're not a godly person. Saul was not a godly person. But they wanted a leader. They wanted a king. And so they got someone who looked like a king. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, if you fear the Lord and serve him, and I want you to circle if. I have almost all of the ifs in my Bible circled. If you do this, I will do this. If, that big little word there, but circling it. If you fear the Lord and you serve him and obey his voice and don't rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. If you do that, then you will continue following the Lord and you will live in peace under this king. However, verse 15, if, circling the if, you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers when they went after other gods. If you want to go your own way, then you don't have that protection. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Samuel is standing before them. They know who Samuel is. They know what he stands for. They know what he's done. They know that he hears from God. And because he hears from God, they are listening. What was the old commercial when somebody talks, everybody listens? When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. And the commercial was, everybody's talking, and E.F. Hutton starts talking, and because I want to hear what he has to say. Because what he has to say is so much more important than what God has to say. And so, stand still and see what God will do before your eyes. Verse 17, is today not the wheat harvest? So it's right in the time of what will become Pentecost. In the wheat harvest, it's late May, late June, late mid-June. There's no rain coming at that particular time. It was rare. It would come sometimes, but it was very, very rare. It doesn't usually come just because somebody says it's going to come. But that's what happened here. I will call to the Lord, and he's going to send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to speak the truth in love? Doesn't that phrase kind of say, well, if I'm speaking the truth in love, doesn't that mean that I'm just all nice and just tell them, oh, yeah, well, you know, but it's okay that you did this, but, you know, speaking the truth in love sometimes is saying, dudes, you're messing up. Or dudettes, you are messing up. And you need to hear the truth. You need to put on that belt of truth. Do you remember a bit ago I shared with you that the Lord told me, buckle up? Do any of you guys remember that? And then all kinds of stuff happened right after that. I was, okay, so that was all of the stuff, buckle up, hang on tight. But then after all that stuff, the Lord said, buckle up. What? More? More? No, make sure that that belt of truth is on. Buckle up that belt of truth. Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Don't be led by other things. So Samuel called to the Lord, verse 18, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord, and they feared Samuel. Why did they fear Samuel? Because they knew the Lord was using Samuel. He was the one who called it down. And all the people said to Samuel, oh, now they get it. Now they get it. We're repentant. Oh, my gosh, pray for your servants to the Lord your God. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God. Not the Lord our God. Pray to your Lord that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. We've added all that to asking a king for ourselves. They are in the place of not only remorse, I think they're in the place of, let's repent of this. We see what's happening here. We want to move forward. And then Samuel said to the people, here's speaking the truth in love as well. Do not fear. You have done all of this wickedness. Yes, you've sinned. There wasn't any candy coating of it. You sinned. You've done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things. When we turn from following the Lord, we go after empty things. Empty things. We would, again, we need to get a picture in our minds of what that means. I'm going to set aside this treasure box. I've got this great treasure box. It's filled with all kinds of jewels. It's filled with all kinds of things. But, you know, I'm kind of tired of that. I'm kind of tired of looking at that. You know, I'm familiar with the whole design of it and everything. And I've gotten used to it. And so, yeah. Oh, look at that box over there. Oh, I want that box. And we leave our beautiful jeweled box filled with jewels for a box over here that's a different color, maybe has different things on it. And we trade our jewel box in for this box. And then we open it, and it's empty. When we live for anything besides God, our life is empty. We're following after empty things. Don't turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will never forsake you for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. It pleased, you want to be pleasing to the Lord? Just recognize that you're his people. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. And moreover, oh, I love this verse. I love this verse, and it gets to me every single time. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against God. Sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. That it would be sin for me to cease praying for you. We have prayer meetings still going on here at the church. 7 o'clock. In the morning, during the week, Monday through Friday, 9:30 for the women's, it's called the women's meeting, but it looks like all of the other prayer meetings in the morning are women's meetings, prayer meetings. But we meet for prayer at 7 a.m. It's available at noon, and it's also available at 5 o'clock. But I look at how those prayer meetings started out. So many people came in. And I knew that I was to be there. I knew that I was to be in that prayer meeting. Now, can you pray any place else? Of course you can pray any place else. You don't have to be here to pray at 7 o'clock for all of the issues here at the church. But there's something that happens when we get together and pray. There's something of the movement of God that happens when we get together to pray. And now those numbers have gone down. And there are a few that are faithful in prayer, because here's the deal. For me, God told me that I am to pray for you guys. I'm to pray for this church. I'm to be at that place at that time. For me to not do that, that's sin for me. That's what Samuel's saying. God forbid. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But in as I am praying also, I will teach you the good and the right way. Another important thing that we need to realize, we have got to stay teachable. We must stay teachable. We must stay teachable. There is always something to learn, something new to learn, something that the Lord is teaching us. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Consider it. Pay attention to it. Journal it. Write down those. Remember to have that thank you book. Remember we talked before about having a thank you book? That at the end of the day, you write in that journal something that you are thankful for that day. At least one thing that the Lord's done. That's not just a prayer journal. You got your prayer journal with all your requests in it. You got your thank you journal that says, I am thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. It will change you the way that you think if you will center in on that. Consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. You will die. You will be taken away. You will go into captivity. But let's take a minute and just look at a couple of important issues about Samuel's life serving the Lord. He served the Lord for a lot of years, and it's important that we look at our own lives. If we've been walking with the Lord more than 2 weeks, we need to go over our walk with the Lord again and see what the Lord is doing in our lives, and here in this text. It's important that we do that. So we look at Samuel in the text, and we see him at the characteristics of a godly man. And so we will put these godly woman things to work in our lives. Samuel, in verses 1 through 5, Samuel was guiltless. He was guiltless. It's hard to complain about someone else's sin when you and others know you're guilty of the same sin or a similar sin. Kind of hard to do that. What do we tell our kids? Don't do what I do what I say. Yeah, they're going to do what you do because they're watching you. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved, living for somebody besides myself. It's important that we have a good testimony, as Samuel clearly did. Number two, Samuel was a man of the word. He was a man of the word. Samuel learned the word of God since he was a young boy. How well do we know the word? How well do you know the word of God? How well do you know your Bible? How well do you know when the Lord speaks to you? And so 2 Timothy 2:15, and I memorized it in the King James Version, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to do some things. They are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, I don't know how to do that. I am thoroughly equipped when I am in the Word of God. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man, young woman, any age woman, cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Number three, Samuel was perceptive in the things of God. One of the reasons that people aren't as perceptive in the word of God as they might be is their time invested in study. We're not as perceptive. Another reason they aren't as perceptive in the Word of God is that they might be because they allow sin in their lives. We allow things in our lives and we think it's no big deal. Nobody knows. It's not hurting anybody but me. Oh, we don't say it's hurting us because I enjoy that. It's just a little thing. What's the big deal? The big deal is that it clouds my perception of who God is and what he's doing and my ability to hear from him. Hebrews 5:11 through 14, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are adult age. That is, those who by reason of use, and I love the end of this, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Number four, Samuel was fearless in delivering God's message. We need to be fearless in delivering God's message. And we can't worry about what the person's response is going to be. We get fearful because we think we're not going to be liked. We think we're going to this, we think that. There are places where we're fearful because it might mean our lives. But we need to be fearless in sharing the word of God. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. Oh, yes, you are. Every time you share with somebody the word of God, be ready in season and out of season because you have memorized the word of God. You know what you're talking about. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to an empty box, because they didn't know the word of God. Number five, Samuel was faithful in warning the people. Acts 20, 26 through 31 speaks of how Paul was also faithful. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, now Paul is speaking this to some of the guys that were heading up the churches. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. It will come from within. Back in the day, when I was involved in political stuff, the one thing that we were taught, the one thing we were doing at that particular time, is go to school so that you can infiltrate, so that you can be there in the middle of it, and they won't even notice that you're there to disrupt, to destroy. Men will come in and do that in the last days, or those who are not true to the word of God. Therefore, watch and remember that he didn't cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Number six, Samuel was a man of prayer. Samuel was a man of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You've already memorized this one. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are praying for everyone. Well, I don't really like them. So do I have to pray for them? Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with what I like. It has everything to do with the fact that God loves them. And then I need to pray that God gives me the kind of love that he has for them so that I can walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray for that person that I don't like. And I'm going to pray in a way that the Lord gives me to pray. Because sometimes we don't know what to say. God, you know I don't like this person. But, no, we just put their name before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless them and to all the things that we would want someone to pray for us and see what God will do. See what God will do. Number seven, Samuel instructed people in the truth. If we don't teach the Bible, what else are we going to teach? If we don't share the Word of God, what else are we going to share? What else do we have of value? Nothing. So let's be careful that we don't get sidetracked in our own Christian lives with anything other than God's best for us. Let's keep a careful watch on all that we do and say, including, but not limited to, our own attitudes. Oh, my attitude, oh, but I want to be annoyed. I'm annoyed at that. I want to get the attitude in shape. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't like it. That's okay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. That we might finish the course God has for us and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When I read the first part of this and it just, you know, when Samuel is saying, "I'm old," and I realized, I'm old. I've been through a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff. And I want my life to have mattered. I don't want to make a name for myself. I don't care if my name is up in lights. I don't need to have things left behind that have my name on it because of blah, blah, blah. I want people to say, because I lived, God got the glory. That's what I want from my life, so that God can say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's obvious that we can't get these qualities that Samuel possessed at the local Walmart or at Target. We can't just go pick it up. It takes time. How do I get it? The Bible is clear. It's consistent study of the Word of God. It's a few things. It's study of the Word of God. It's application of the Word of God to our hearts and minds. It's obedience to the things that will be produced, and it's by our obedience to the Word of God. So it's study the Word of God, apply the Word of God, walk in obedience to the Word of God, and that what is going to be produced in our lives is so much more than that empty box. It's through prayer. Verse 23, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done." And I really don't like having to end with this last verse. But we have to end with this last verse, 25. "But if you still continue in your own way, you're going to be swept away, both you and your king." So let's keep our lives up from verse 24 and backwards. Okay? Let's keep our lives in the things that God has done, that we follow after him, we walk with him. We allow him to be glorified through our lives. Let's continue to walk with him. Don't go from side to side. Straight ahead. Keep your eyes like dove's eyes that only can see what's in front of them. And so, Lord, thank you, God, that you are here amongst us, that you have loved us, that you're going to be glorified through us. Lord, I thank you, Father, for words that you spoke to us. I thank you, God, that you are good. You are always good. And I thank you, Father, for these precious ladies. I pray, Father, a special anointing on each one of them, that as they get in their groups, Lord, that they would just bless each other, that they would love each other, that they would glorify your name, that you would be lifted up amongst them, Lord. And those things that are heavy on their heart, Lord, there are people who need to be healed. There are things going on in my family. There are things, all of these things are going on. As they minister to one another, Lord, let your name be glorified through it. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down.
for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go.